You're listening to Back in the USSR.
Да здравствует 60-я годовщина Великой Октябрьской социалистической революции. Да здравствует героический советский народ и его доблестные вооруженные силы. Слава Коммунистической партии Советского Союза, руководящей и направляющей силе советского общества. Ура!
Sus heridas y su lucha cuando digan.
Listening to Back in the USSR on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. I am Siegfried, and welcome to the final episode of the show for 2019. That was Silvio Rodriguez, Pablo Miñones, and Noel Nicola with Cuba Va bringing us in. And, of course, that was also the Bayamo song, the Cuban national anthem. And because this show, which I'm rounding out and I'm going to explain it all to you shortly, is all about the Cuban Revolution, whose anniversary is just around the corner, 2 days away. Now, we've dealt with some pretty heavy stuff this year, comrades and friends, here in 2019. You know, for the past half year anyway, seeing I was away in China, teaching ESL for a good part of 2019. We've talked about the ongoing right-wing military coup in Bolivia, the devastating results of the British election earlier this month, and the far-right threat that emerged in Guelph itself during the Canadian federal election back in October. It's been heavy. There have also been victories. Real courage is being shown all around the world as people fight for something better, more just, more humane. Whether that's the ongoing protests in Chile against austerity, the current protests in France against austerity, in Iraq and Haiti, where protests persist even in the face of brutal violence from a U.S.-backed government, in Ecuador, where protests stopped neoliberal reforms in their tracks. And a lot of that had to do with the mobilization of indigenous people. In Lebanon, where protests toppled a corrupt government dominated by banking cartels. Or the heroic resistance against the coup in Bolivia. You know, resistance to settler colonialism in Canada and Palestine. And the resistance we see in Ontario by teachers, students, and education workers against the austerity measures and cutbacks imposed by the Ford government. You know, resistance is all around. It's all around. Working class and oppressed people are rising up and radicalizing all over the world. And in tribute to them, in tribute to the struggles, the victories, the sacrifices, both past and present, I would like to dedicate this final show of 2019 to the anniversary of a truly glorious victory for the people that will be coming up in less than 28 hours' time. For it was 61 years ago, January 1st, 1959, when Fidel Castro and Che Guevara led the forces of the Cuban Revolution into Havana and shook the world with the first socialist revolution anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. It was a first for North or South America. And it was December 2nd, 1956, when Fidel, Che, and 81 other Cuban revolutionaries disembarked from the vessel Granma and began their struggle to overthrow the U.S.-backed dictator Fulgencio Batista. And Che, in his journals, described the landing as follows, the really harrowing experience of the landing from the Granma. He said, "We reached solid ground, lost, stumbling along like so many shadows or ghosts, marching in response to some obscure psychic impulse. We had been through 7 days of constant hunger and sickness during the sea crossing, topped by 3 still more terrible days on land, exactly 10 days after our departure from Mexico, during the early morning hours of December 5th. Following a night-long march interrupted by fainting and frequent rest periods, we reached a spot paradoxically known as Alegría del Pío, Rejoicing of the Pious. And this is where they were ambushed by the Cuban army. Bombarded by warplanes and attack helicopters, only 20 of the original 82 men who landed on that beach in Las Colorados, you know, like on the Cuban coast, made it to the Sierra Maestra Mountains to carry on the fight. Only 20 out of 82. After the bloodshed of this disaster, no one could have expected that only a few years later, on New Year's Day, 1959, the Cuban Revolution, led by Fidel Castro, would triumph and light a flame that continues to burn, to this day, throughout Latin America and around the world. You know, very few people could have ever foreseen that victory. But it happened. that victory happened, that victory of the Cuban Revolution happened. And it inspired the Irish singer-songwriter Ewan McCall to write this song. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
Fidel and Che Guevara lay in the ship at anchor in the harbor, waiting for the evening tide to rise and bring high water. It's bound for Cuba, she must go across the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean Ocean. She's carrying a human cargo, 83 good compañeros, each one burning with determination to be free. Against Batista, the Fidelista, courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. 10 days out from Mexico, these compañeros landed on the Cuban beach, Los Colorados. Fidel said, this year we'll see our country and our people free, or else we will be martyrs. We've only guns enough for 20, the enemy has arms aplenty, need a man to feed him, he'll keep us well supplied. Against Batista, the Fidelista, courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. 5 weeks later in the Canyon del Rio, the Fidel's army had been reduced to 18 compañeros. Hungry, weak and unafraid, learning revolution's trade in the high Sierra Maestra, where the mountain winds did blow, bearing seeds to sprout and sow, crops in Cuban soil that marked the death of slavery. On compañeros to El Lavero, courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. They fought their way across the peak of El Turquino, joined by bands of volunteers and the men from Santiago. They faced Batista's tanks and trains, drove them back down to the plains from the high Sierra Maestra. They drove the gangsters from Las Villas straight across the Cordilleras. Santa Barbara fell to Che Guevara and was free. On compañeros to El Lavero, courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. The fire lit on that Cuban beach by Fidel Castro still shines all the way to Terra del Fuego. Sparks are blown upon the breeze, people rise from off their knees when they see the night is burning. It blazes up in Venezuela, Bolivia, Guatemala, lights the road that we must go in order to be free. On compañeros, Americanos, courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. Courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara.
You're listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was Christy Moore, his version of the song originally written by Ewan McCall, Compañeros, in tribute to Fidel Castro, Che Guevara, and the Compañeros who made the Cuban Revolution, who landed on that beach from the Granma in 1956 and who spearheaded the revolution after that, which emerged victorious on January 1st, 1959. Now, before I go into more details about the Cuban Revolution and its impact internationally, I'd like to share with you the thoughts of a friend and comrade of mine, the Venezuelan-Canadian writer and activist Nino Paglisia, and what the 61st anniversary of the Cuban Revolution means to him. This is a personal reflection. For me, at this time of year, it is inevitable to remember the momentous day when the protracted revolutionary process in Cuba came to fruition on January 1st, 1959, marking the triumph of the Cuban Revolution with the ousting of the dictator Fulgencio Batista and the attaining of the long overdue independence from foreign and oligarchy dominance. That is an historic beginning that I inevitably remember and personally celebrate every year. My celebration is not with fireworks or public displays, but more like a time for introspection and reflection on some of the events that led to that new start. Although I was too young to have been aware of that historical moment at the time, I am quite acquainted with Cuba, and I have come to know some of the historical leaders of the Cuban Revolution. I consider myself privileged to be a contemporary of those personalities. The modern history of Cuba is quite rich and full of human episodes. Its retrospective study gives us an insight into the determination of Cubans to resist any foreign intervention. After long years of fighting the Spanish colonization in the 19th century, Cuba was close to achieving its independence goal militarily. But a false flag incident of the explosion of the U.S. battleship Maine in Havana Bay in February 1898 blamed on the Spanish, was used by the U.S. as a pretext to intervene in the Spanish-Cuban War. False flag acts are frequently used today, but it's an old military tactic. There is another infamous false flag act committed later, in April 1961, when the U.S.-sponsored invasion of Cuba at the Bay of Pigs was carried out with planes painted with the colors of the Cuban Air Force to deceive the population and the revolutionary government itself by trying to portray as if there was a mutiny going on. The invading mercenaries were eventually defeated and taken prisoner in less than 72 hours. In 1898, despite the Cuban troops' advantage over the Spanish and despite the Cuban troops' protection of the U.S. landing of its army, Cubans did not receive any recognition. They were in fact ignored. Spain surrendered to the U.S. in the Paris Treaty of December 1898. On January 1st, 1899, the possession of Cuba was transferred from Spain to the United States. An inauspicious beginning that would rather be forgotten. But history is there so we don't forget. And Cubans didn't. The importance of Cuba for the U.S. was and still is mostly strategic for its geographic position as a virtual protective gate to the Gulf of Mexico. Cuba was also used for economic exploitation of its vast sugarcane and other produce plantations, mostly at the hands of U.S. corporations. That was sufficient for the U.S. government to turn a blind eye to the extensive mafia gambling activities, tax haven, and other illegal dealings taking place in Cuba. The different puppet regimes governing the country had a total disregard for the well-being of Cubans who lived in extreme poverty and abject conditions, especially in rural areas. This was the social situation under the corrupt regime of Fulgencio Batista that the revolutionary movement of Cuba in the mid-20th century was attempting to overturn. The first major attempt took place on July 26, 1953, when Fidel Castro led an attack at the military garrison in Santiago de Cuba that failed. The struggle continued, including more than 2 years of guerrilla warfare. In the words of Fidel Castro, 5 years, 5 months, and 5 days passed from that day until victory was finally achieved, liberating the whole country of 6 million Cubans. In my personal reflections, I always respect the moral qualities of Fidel Castro, exemplified by his modesty He always discouraged the personal idealization towards him, and I think that he set the standard from the very beginning. While revolutionary commanders Ernesto Che Guevara and Camilo Cienfuegos entered into Havana on January 1st and took over the two large military garrisons without resistance, winning over the majority of the soldiers, Fidel was still in Santiago de Cuba, almost 1,000 kilometers away. He did not rush to the capital to be acclaimed. He took the trip by road, stopping at every major Cuban city to connect with the people who had been his supporters and had been the most ignored historically. He arrived in Havana 8 days later. Following Fidel's death in November 2016, a funeral procession carried the casket with his ashes, symbolically traveling the same route back from Havana to Santiago de Cuba. Large crowds stood along the way to pay their final respects. His brother Raul Castro stated one of Fidel's dying wishes, that his image and name never be used in public places, from streets and parks to government institutions. Legislation to that effect was passed by the Cuban National Assembly. January 1st, 2020 will mark the 61st anniversary of this legendary revolutionary beginning, and the term beginning is very appropriate because it indicates a continuous process of transformation of what is called today a revolution in motion. At every step, a true social advancement is made. The human and social development of this small nation is outstanding by any stretch of the imagination, while subjected to the most crushing economic and financial blockade by the United States from 1962 to this day. The UN Human Development Report of 2019 states Cuba's Human Development Index value for 2018 is 0.778, which puts the country in the high human development category, positioning it at 72 out of 189 countries and territories, above the average of 0.750 for countries in the high human development group and above the average of 0.759 for countries in Latin America and the Caribbean. I am truly convinced that be it a personal change or a social revolution, a true transformative beginning must be marked by a creative process and a radical change with the profound conviction that a better world is possible. That's what Nino Paglisia had to say about the Cuban Revolution. His personal reflection on the 61st anniversary of the Cuban Revolution. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
Si quiere conocer a Martí y a Fidel,
a Cuba, a Cuba, a Cuba iré.
Si quiere conocer los caminos del Che,
a Cuba iré.
Si quiere tomar ron pero sin Coca-Cola,
a Cuba iré.
Si quiere trabajar en la caña de azúcar,
a Cuba iré.
En un barquito se va al vaivén,
a Cuba, Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres conocer a Martí y a Fidel,
a Cuba, a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres conocer a Martí y a Fidel,
a Cuba, a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres conocer los caminos del Che,
a Cuba, a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres tomar ron pero sin Coca-Cola,
a Cuba, a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres trabajar en la caña de azúcar,
a Cuba, a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
En un barquito se va el vaivén,
a Cuba, a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres conocer a Martí y a Fidel,
a Cuba, a Cuba, Cuba iré.
Si quieres conocer los caminos del Che,
a Cuba, a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres tomar ron pero sin Coca-Cola,
a Cuba, a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres trabajar en la caña de azúcar.
You're listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was Victor Jara, the Chilean communist singer Victor Jara, with his tribute to the Cuban Revolution, A Cuba. And before that, we had Nino Paglisia's response to the 61st anniversary of the Cuban Revolution. And I have to tell you that it's hard to do justice to such a earth-shaking, pivotal event, historical event, in the space of a one-hour radio show. I mean, Comrade Nino gave a good summary of what it was all about, but there's so much more that could be added about Cuban history, the legacy of the revolution, and the details of the struggle itself, which began long before January 1st, 1959, and can be traced back to the anti-colonial struggle against Spain and the fight to abolish slavery. And slavery persisted in Cuba well into the 1880s. And even after 1898 saw the collapse of 400 years of Spanish colonial rule, the Cubans were immediately faced with a new colonial master in the United States, which dominated the country's politics and economy. You know, Cubans had risen up again and again. There was a strong national tradition of resistance to oppression. But their efforts and sacrifices had either been usurped, you know, in the 19th century and in the early 20th century, had been usurped by foreign imperialists or by corrupt local elites who promised change but then didn't deliver. I mean, Fidel Castro's words in his first recorded speech following the revolution, which was given on, you know, was actually given on January 1st, 1959, reflect this bitter experience. And before I read it out in English, I want you to hear the original Spanish version.
Fortaleza de la revolución. esta vez no se frustrará la revolución. Esta vez, por fortuna para Cuba, la revolución llegará de verdad al poder. No será como el 95, que vinieron los americanos y se hicieron dueños de esto. Intervinieron a última hora y después ni siquiera dejaron entrar a Calixto García, que habían peleado durante 30 años, lo que hicieron entrar en Santiago de Cuba. No será como en el 33, que cuando el pueblo empezó a creer que una revolución se estaba haciendo, vino el señor Batista, traicionó la revolución, se apoderó del poder e instauró una dictadura por 11 años. No será como en el 44, año en que las multitudes se enardecieron creyendo que al fin el pueblo había llegado al poder, y los que llegaron al poder fueron los ladrones. Ni ladrones, ni traidores, ni intervencionistas. Esta vez sí que es la revolución.
So that was Fidel Castro's first speech, recorded speech, after the revolution happened on January 1st, 1959. And the recording, of course, is not that great. I mean, given the technology of the time, you notice that, the recording actually is pretty, atrocious quality. But this is basically what he was saying. The revolution begins now. The revolution will not be an easy task, but a harsh and dangerous undertaking, particularly in its initial phase. And in what better place could we establish the government of the new republic than in this fortress of the revolution? With a military uprising at the backs of the people, our revolution will go forward. This time, the revolution will not be frustrated. This time, fortunately for Cuba, the revolution will really come to power. It will not be like 1895, when the Americans came and took over, intervening at the last moment, and afterwards didn't even allow Calixto García, even though he had fought in Santiago de Cuba for 30 years. Nor will it be like 1933, when the people began to believe that the revolution was going to triumph and Mr. Batista came in to betray the revolution, take power, and establish an 11-year-long dictatorship. Nor will it be like 1944, when the people took courage, believing that they had finally gained power, while those who did assume power proved to be thieves. Never thieves, nor traitors, nor interventionists. This time, it is truly the revolution. And that was Fidel Castro speaking at the triumph of the Cuban Revolution on January 1st, 1959, 61 years ago. And what he was doing was addressing the shattered hopes, the shattered dreams, that the bitter experiences the Cubans had dealt with over the past like half century or more, as they fought for independence and then were betrayed by corrupt politicians and by foreign powers intervening, like the United States intervening during the Spanish-American War and taking control of Cuba, and crushing that independence struggle by the Cuban people and replacing one colonial power with another. And Fidel was saying, like, this time, the revolution is for real this time. It's for real. Because Fidel understood by that point that any real struggle for justice in Cuba, was necessarily going to involve breaking the hold of the U.S. and the American multinational corporations and putting the wealth and resources of the country under the control of the Cuban people and for the benefit of the Cuban people. Before the revolution, 70% of Cuba's land was controlled by American business interests, mainly sugar and coffee business interests, and virtually all of the country's infrastructure, its roads and railways, were geared to get sugar and coffee from those plantations down to the ports and into world markets. I mean, many villages and towns did not have roads, let alone hospitals or schools or sanitation systems. building a country and a society that puts the needs of the people first was going to require the redistribution of land to peasant farmers, the nationalization of industry, vast improvements in education, and the development of public infrastructure. Therefore, it was going to require socialism in some form. And this was something that Fidel and his companions, very few of whom, apart from Fidel's brother Raul Castro, were socialists at the time of the Moncada barracks attacks on January 26, 1953, which really launched the revolutionary struggle and which was to provide the name for their political movement against Batista, which was called the July 26 Movement. You know, Fidel and his companions were to learn through experience over the course of their struggle that socialism was a necessary thing for the Cuban Revolution. The July 26 Movement was founded on the ideas of the Cuban independence hero José Martí, who was a poet with many high-sounding ideals, who gave his life fighting against the Spanish colonial rulers of Cuba, gave his life fighting against them. He had many high-sounding ideals concerning social justice, but no real program for action. And at first, the July 26 Movement didn't really have a concrete program for action either. The July 26 Movement's program was to develop and radicalize in the face of the concrete struggles and real obstacles that the revolutionary struggle was to face leading up to 1959. This is what Fidel Castro said on April 16, 1961, when he proclaimed Cuba to be a socialist nation. I'm going to play it again in Spanish first.
Porque lo que no pueden perdonarnos los imperialistas es que estemos aquí y que hayamos hecho una revolución socialista en las propias narices de los Estados Unidos. Y que esa revolución socialista la defendemos con esos fusiles. Los que no pueden perdonarlo los imperialistas es la dignidad, la entereza, el valor, la firmeza ideológica, el espíritu de sacrificio y el espíritu revolucionario del pueblo de Cuba. Eso es lo que no pueden perdonarnos, que estemos ahí en sus narices.
So what Fidel Castro was saying in that speech he gave on April 16, 1961, when he proclaimed Cuba a socialist nation, he said, "What the imperialists cannot forgive us for is that we are here and that we have made a socialist revolution under the United States' nose, and that we will defend the socialist revolution with our rifles. What the imperialists cannot forgive us for is the dignity, the integrity, the courage, the ideological firmness, the spirit of sacrifice, and the revolutionary spirit of the Cuban people. That is what they cannot forgive us for, that we are under their noses." And of course, the United States has always viewed Latin America as its backyard, which it alone, it believes it is entitled to control. And Cuba, of course, was defying the United States by charting an independent course, fighting for self-determination, exercising self-determination. And by that point, in 1961, the United States had initiated the blockade and sanctions regime on Cuba that continues to this day. It had launched a bloody campaign of sabotage and terrorism on the island and was gearing up for the Bay of Pigs invasion. All that because Cuba had redistributed land, nationalized industry, and was charting an independent course as a country for the first time ever. But even in 1956, it was clear that some sort of confrontation with the United States was inevitable if Cuba was to experience real liberation as a country. And I'd like to briefly go through some of the leading figures in the July 26 movement that led the Cuban Revolution, because while people like Fidel and Che are undeniable heroes, they tend to overshadow some of the other men and women whose contributions to the struggle were also immensely important and should not be overlooked in any discussion of the Cuban Revolution. I mean, the role of the radical student movement in the Cuban Revolution is often overlooked, for example. The student movement played a massive role in bringing on the revolution. Frank Paez, the vice president of the Student Federation in Oriente Province, effectively coordinated rebel activities throughout the entire region of eastern Cuba on behalf of Fidel Castro and the July 26 movement when the guerrilla war began in December of 1956. He was only 23 years old at the time. 23. Faustino Perez, who was 37, and Armando Hart, who was 27 in 1956, likewise played a leading roles in the July 26 movement after having organized student opposition to Batista on various university campuses. They all came out of the student movement. Celia Sanchez, who was 37 in 1956, had been active in the campaign to free Fidel and his fellow prisoners in the wake of the failure of the 1953 Moncada Barracks uprising. She had been a part of the July 26 movement since its founding, mobilized its supporters to assist with the Granma landings in December of 1956, and also recruited the first peasant supporters of Fidel's guerrilla struggle in the Sierra Maestra Mountains. Heidi Santa Maria, who was just 25 at the time of the Granma landings, had already fought in the Moncada Barracks uprising and had been jailed for 7 months afterward. She was also a founding member of the July 26 movement and had joined in the failed November 1956 uprising that Frank Paez had organized in support of the Granma landings. Vilma Espin, who was 27 in 1956, had likewise been a member of Frank Paez's Student Federation in Oriente Province and had joined the July 26 movement from there. She too participated in the November 1956 uprising before joining the guerrilla struggle in the Sierra Maestra. All of these men and women played huge roles in organizing underground activities in support of the guerrilla struggle against Batista, recruiting new members, obtaining arms, smuggling weapons and volunteers into the Sierra Maestra, raising money, gathering supplies, spreading propaganda, conducting foreign relations, urban sabotage, and even coming up with a political platform for the movement, which it didn't originally have. Most entered the struggle with the aim of overthrowing a corrupt military dictatorship and restoring civilian rule. Che Guevara and Raul Castro were the only communists in the movement's leadership when the guerrilla struggle began. But Fidel and the others soon drew closer to socialism when they realized that it was the only path that would allow them to make the radical changes and reforms that they wanted to undertake to ensure Cuba's national self-determination in both political and economic terms. And the same was true of Harry Pombo Villegas, who just passed away this past weekend on Sunday the 29th at the age of 79, an Afro-Cuban, a descendant of slaves, who would take part in the student movement before joining Che Guevara's Cerro Redondo column of the rebel army in the Sierra Maestra in 1958, becoming Che's friend and fighting alongside him at the decisive Battle of Santa Clara. A revolutionary internationalist, he earned the nickname Pombo in 1965 while serving alongside Che in the Congo. Pombo, coming from the Swahili word for leaf. He joined Che again in 1966-67 in the guerrilla struggle in Bolivia and was one of only five guerrillas in Che's group to survive the battles that would ultimately see Che captured and executed by the Bolivian military on orders from the CIA on October 7th, 1967. Pombo, Harry Villegas, continued to serve in the Cuban Armed Forces, supporting the socialist government of Angola against apartheid South Africa as a military advisor, and also supporting the Sandinistas as a military advisor in Nicaragua against the American-backed Contras in the 1980s. He attained the honor of Hero of the Republic of Cuba, one of the highest honors that anyone in Cuba can get, and reached the rank of Brigadier General in the Cuban Armed Forces, which would have been unthinkable for a black man in Cuba prior to the revolution, you know, attaining that kind of rank in the army. So these comrades of Fidel and Che were the people, you know, these brave men and women, you know, and people like Celia Sanchez and Heidi Santa Maria and these Vilma Espin and these other women, these empowered women who were breaking the chains of patriarchy in Cuba as well. You know, people like, you know, Harry Villegas, who of course was, you know, smashing down the racial barrier that had kept, you know, black Cubans in oppression for such a long time. You know, these comrades of Fidel and Che were the people who would challenge the legacy of colonialism and slavery and patriarchy in Cuba. And in doing so, they were forced to confront capitalism and empire and imperialism head on. And all this would lead to the first socialist revolution anywhere in the Western Hemisphere and the rise of a new country that has been a very real beacon of hope to those struggling for liberation all over the world ever since. But I'm going to have to leave that discussion for next week. I'm going to have to save that discussion for next week. The first Back in the USSR episode of 2020. As we further discuss the impact of the Cuban Revolution and its legacy. We'll continue that discussion next week. So please stay tuned, comrades and friends. Happy New Year. Solidarity to you all. And just keep fighting the good fight in the new year. And please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
Bandera de unidad y tú vendrás marchando. molesta, mi amor de juventud, y mi amor es un arte en virtud. Te molesta, mi amor sin antifaz, y mi amor es un arte de paz. Te molesta mi amor de humanidad, y mi amor es un arte en su edad. Te molesta mi amor de surtidor, y mi amor es un arte mayor. Mi amor es mi prenda encantada, es mi extensa morada, es mi espacio sin fin. Mi amor no precisa fronteras, como la primavera no prefiere jardín. Mi amor no es amor de mercado, porque un amor sangrado no es amor de lucrar. Mi amor es todo cuanto tengo, si lo niego lo vendo, ¿para qué respirar? ¿Te molesta mi amor de juventud? Y mi amor es un arte en virtud. ¿Te molesta mi amor sin antifaz? Y mi amor es un arte de paz. ¿Te molesta mi amor de humanidad, y mi amor es un arte en su edad? ¿Te molesta mi amor de surtidor, y mi amor es un arte mayor? Mi amor no es amor de uno solo, sino alma de todo, lo que urge sanar. Mi amor es un amor de abajo, que el devenir me trajo para hacerlo empinar. Mi amor, el más enamorado, es del más olvidado, en su antiguo dolor. Mi amor abre pecho a la muerte y despeña su suerte por un tiempo mejor. Este amor aguerrido es un sol encendido por quien merece. Thank you.
Yo no sé si él cree que es posible el cielo en la tierra. Él lo que sí cree que es imposible no luchar por eso. Va a prevalecer su dignidad, su sentido de los principios, su visión de la historia.
Listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was Cuban singer Silvio Rodriguez with Te Molesta de Mi Amor. And then Quilapayún, the iconic Chilean band with El Pueblo Unido. You know, the people united will never be defeated. This is Back in the USSR's tribute to the Cuban Revolution. Please stay tuned on its 61st anniversary.